Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, the 15th of January, 2011. This is our first show for the new year, and I am your host, Aurelia Lyles. We are live. We are definitely live. We have an amazing day planned for you today with musical renaissance man Jeff Red. The show is titled after his website, The World of Jeff Red. I'm waiting for him to call in. We haven't gotten his call yet. He's one of, let's just say, R&B signature entertainers with some timeless cuts that we all know and enjoy. And I'm just going to play my favorite until we can get him on the line. So please enjoy my favorite Jeff Red song, You Called and Told Me.
Oh, your sexy body. I love the way you pull your body, honey. Just come here closer, lean next to me, so me and you can be happy.
Well, I'm still waiting for our host to call, our guest, Jeff Redd, to call in. I can go on with the interview, but I need him to call in. The number is 347-637-2319, and please press 1. In the meantime, I will just begin to tell you a little bit about the background of Jeff Redd. He's had tremendous success in the industry for, over 2 decades. And he is like one of the signature entertainers for the R&B industry. I'm at a loss for words because I kind of figured I would have had him on the line by now. So, you know, just bear with me. I am going to see if I can reach out. But in the meantime, while I'm doing that, allow me the opportunity to let you listen to his other song, Take You Higher. Oh, hold on 1 second, please. Hello?
Hi, I have Jeff Redd for you.
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. I had you on the line earlier and you hung up.
No, you know what happened? I was right in the middle of something, and I think I was driving and I went through a bad area.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm really glad that you could make it and join us today.
I'm so glad that you can have me. I appreciate that.
Great. Well, you have to know you are my favorite, okay?
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that.
You're quite welcome. So we were getting ready to go into talking about your tremendous success in the industry. I mean, you've been doing this for over 2 decades. Now that's a lot.
You know what? I didn't even look at it like that. Wow, 2 decades. Because you know it's funny. I signed my deal in 1988. So that means this year in November it'll be 23 years, and that's a long time, man.
Yeah, it is. It is a long time, and you are successful at it. And I have to congratulate you for receiving the proclamation from your town where you grew up in.
Yes, that was a beautiful thing, man. They honored me with the not only proclamation but the key to the city, and it was just great just coming from a city like Mount Vernon because there are so many actors and you know singers and.
Mm-hmm.
Athletes that came out of that city, and I was just honored to receive that.
Well, that just means that people recognize your work and they appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So, now, I wanted to ask you, when you were growing up, were you really involved in music at all? You know, like a lot of people went to performing arts schools and stuff like that. Were you involved in anything in that nature?
Oh, I was definitely involved with music. From the time I was a young kid, I would sing a lot in school and stuff like that. I was in the choir at my school, and it was something that I always knew that I wanted to do from the time I was 10 years old.
Okay, great. And you started out with a group called the Sophisticated Gents?
Yeah, a local group in Mount Vernon called the Sophisticated Gents, and it was 3 of us, and I was the youngest in the group. And basically what that did was help me to be able to learn how to perform in front of people, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it was a great learning experience, and I was I'm so, you know, grateful for that experience.
Mm-hmm. And I understand you used to open for a friend of mine, D-Train.
That's right.
We went to high school together.
That's my man. You know, I actually spoke to him not too long ago.
Okay, yeah. We grew up in the same neighborhood and went to the same high school.
So you from Long Island?
No, he's from Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn.
Yeah. He lived in Long Island, okay.
Right. He moved to Long Island, but he's originally from Brooklyn. He went to Erasmus.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, old James.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, the other question I wanted to know was, before you became Jeff Red, the entertainer, what did you do?
Oh, well, I did a lot of things. I went to college for a year. I didn't really do nothing in there but play around and mess around in that. So I had to get a job, and I started working at General Motors on the assembly line.
Wow.
And while they're working at General Motors, you know, I was performing and doing my shows and stuff like that. And I got my deal while being at General Motors. And that's how I found Mary J. Blige, because her stepfather and I worked together at General Motors.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are also responsible for bringing us amazing talent like Mary J. Blige. Now, when you're out there prospecting for talent, what is the unique quality that captures your attention that makes you or lets you know that this person has it?
The hustle. You know, I like more so the hustle in these artists that they're go-getters. And that's the thing that I really learned, because I started my own record label a few years ago called So Real Records.
Mm-hmm.
And I had three artists on the label. I made albums, I got choreography, I did photo shoots, and then I set up an open mic night in California at a place called Cozy's, which was in Sherman Oaks, California.
Mm-hmm.
And it was time for me to get the guys, you know, to get them a home base and a fan base for them to, you know, work out and establish themselves. And these guys, they want to perform. So, I mean, they were very talented, but
mm-hmm.
they didn't have the hustle, you know. And that's one thing I look for now in artists, is their hustle.
Mm-hmm.
And their willingness, you know, how much are they going to sacrifice?
Okay. Now, much like all industries, when you're trying to get, you know, pursue your dream and get your grind on, you encounter roadblocks. What hurdles did you encounter when you were trying to get yourself situated and started in your career and moving forward and going along with your career?
Some of the roadblocks, one, they said I couldn't sing. I heard that once from this guy. He was in the entertainment business, and I gave his daughter a demo that I had, and she brought it back and said, my pop said you couldn't sing. Then it was another roadblock when I was in the group, and I was youngest in the group, and they told me that, you know, at that point, we were getting $35 a night. We were getting $35 a night, and the owner of the bar said, okay, I'm going to give you guys a raise, which was $50 a piece. So they all said, okay, that was great, but Jeff, we think you could, it's not time for you to get your additional $15. We don't think you're ready yet.
Oh, no.
So that was another roadblock. It's like, you can't be serious, you know. So, you know, the thing that motivates me, I find out is when someone tells me I can't do something.
Mm, okay.
That's almost like putting fuel in my tank.
Okay.
And every time they told me I couldn't do something, I always did it. They said I couldn't sing, I did that. You know, I'll give you some, I'll take it a step further. When I was in high school, I wanted to be a pharmacist, and my counselor told me that was too hard for me. So I said, all right, you know, back then, I'm pretty sure now they still might be telling minority stuff like that. But I said, all right. And I said, okay, I'll try something else. So here we are years later, and last year I went back to school and became a pharmacy technician. I'm a certified pharmacy technician now.
Wow.
And that was just to show and prove to myself, because they said I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So anything that I want to do, of course, by the grace of God, I was able to do it. So whenever roadblocks come, those are all, it's almost like fuel in my tank.
Okay.
And
now,
that really fires me up.
Now, that is commendable. And this is something that it's not in any of your bios, because believe you me, I was searching.
yeah, I went back last year and went to school,
And yeah, I'm a certified pharmacy technician, and it's cool. You know, okay. It's something I always wanted to do, and I'm doing it.
Okay,
I'm not a pharmacist, because a pharmacist, you go to school for 6 years, that sort of thing. But, you know, this is cool for me, because I'm still doing my music.
Yeah, so Jeff Red reinvents himself whenever he feels like it, right?
Absolutely, of course. When I get the information from a higher source, which is God, I move forward. And that's what a lot of people get stuck, because they, you know, you talk to people and they say they don't know what they want to do, and they already know. They just don't believe that the information that they're getting is real, you know. And they say whenever you hear that little inner voice talking to you, you got to move, man. And I've always moved. You know, I'm hearing some information now that I'm working with one young artist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to reveal his name yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by this time next year, he's going to be probably one of the biggest artists in the industry, surpassing Justin Bieber.
Oh, really? Incredible. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and like I said, you'll hear more about it later on down the line.
Okay. And I'm going to take your work, because you said you're getting it from a higher source, and I know if it's coming from there.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, man. I'm telling you. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, what has been, I mean, you are wearing many hats. You're an entertainer, you're a songwriter, you're a producer, record label executive for your own record label. And I want to know, what has been your most challenging position, challenging role? What has, you know, really...
The most challenging role thus far was starting the label, because I had it now for maybe... Shoot, this time is moving. I had that label since 2003, so that's 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenging part to me the first 4 years was dealing with artists and, of course, spending your own money.
Mm-hmm.
And me coming out of corporate America, I was so corporatized that I was doing everything according to the way we in corporate America, not even knowing that I'm an independent now and I can do anything I wanted to do. So I had to get out of that mindset. You know, it took me 2 years to get out of that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So the next 2 years, you know, it was about more so developing the artist. And by that time, like I said, the challenging part came is when I'm sitting here with these very extremely talented artists with no drive, with no... hunger, with no sacrifice. And I realized what I did was I did too much for them. I gave them the choreography. I created an open mic night. I did everything for them, laid it out for them, and I shouldn't have done that. So, you know, that it really bothered me because, you know, you spend a lot of money with these artists, and they still didn't get it. So, I mean, that was a challenge for me, not understanding why they didn't get it, because I'm thinking everybody's in a mind frame that I am. Okay, somebody's doing something for me. I got to go to extra yard. But that was something, man. So that the label thing was the most challenging. Artists, of course, you know, at the beginning, trying to get a deal, trying to get your name out there. That was a challenging part. Producing and writing wasn't challenging because all just came to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had like when SWV, I had just finished doing my first album, and their manager, Maureen Singleton, had came to me and asked me to write for them. I didn't know who the girls were. They were called Sisters with Voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat down and wrote a song, and it's so funny. I'm getting royalty checks to this day for that song, and I didn't even know the song was on the Above the Rim soundtrack. You know, so, I mean, all these things are starting to come around, and I mean, I just thank God every day because he was able to give me that information to write down and for people to hear it, and, you know, years later, because I did that in 1989, 90, somewhere in there.
It was in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's 20 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Good gracious.
Okay, you've worked with a lot of artists. Can you just, like, tell us who they are, who a few of them are? I know, you know, based on...
Okay, a few of them are Casey and JoJo, Regina Bell, Bobby Brown, SWV, Guy. I did their last studio album. I worked on a Half Cell. I got a Groove Back soundtrack, the Hurricane soundtrack, Eve Bayou soundtrack. You know, some things. Yeah, I worked with Salt and Pepper. Mm-hmm. When I first got to MCA, I worked with them. They had a song called Champagne that actually won a Grammy with that record. So worked with James M. Toomey on his New York Undercover soundtrack, and so many things. You know, I can't think right now. When people ask me that question, is I know I'm leaving some things out, but you know, those sort of groups and artists that I work with.
Mm-hmm. And that's only because you're very busy. See, if you weren't, you'd be able to run them down.
That's right, exactly. And you know, it's something, like I said, when I do something, I do it, man, I do it wholeheartedly, and that's it. You know, like a lot of people do things and they keep talking about it and talking about it. Man, I'm on to the next. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, it's not about one project that defines who you are. It's about creating a body of work, you know, that people can look at. And that's what, you know, of course, God has been able to bless me with creating such a body of work. When I go back and look at it sometimes, I'm like, good gracious. You know, that's a lot of, I've mm-hmm. done a lot as an artist in the record business.
Yes. Now, you continue to keep your, to keep us gifted with your talent, and you constantly keep your finger on the pulse, current trends in the music industry. For example, Take You Higher. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a hot song. And, you know, it's really interesting. You called and told me it's like a timeless song. I mean, my daughter, she loves that song, and she is a senior in college, and she's heard that, well, pretty much all the time, because it is one of my favorites.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just interesting how, you know, you can put something out there, and like you were saying, you didn't know what it was going to do when you initially did it. However, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the line, it's still hot.
I'm telling you, man, because I was in California, and every so often my manager at the time, George Harrell, would call me, yo, they're playing your song, you need to come back to New York. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. He set up one show, I never show up. So then I said, okay, I'm coming to New York. Number one, my mother got sick. I had to come to New York and put her on dialysis. And I said, while I'm here, I will, you know, have him set up a couple little radio things for me to promote my compilation that I had did. Mm-hmm. And when I started promoting the compilation, you know, I did the Miss Jones show at the time, you know, Talent, and they was on 98.7 mm-hmm. Kiss. I did Hal Jackson, you know, morning show. And everyone was asking, when you're coming back. Georgia set up a few dates at a couple of local clubs. And, you know, one thing led to another. And like I said, I started out singing in front of 25 people, and it wound up turning into be almost like 10,000 people at South Tree Seaport a year
mm-hmm.
later.
I was there.
So, you know, and, you know, it's amazing. But it, of course, it's God that made all that happen, but also we put in the work. I mean, we were doing everything. We was doing, you know, Jeff Fred everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm talking about, an artist who's willing to sacrifice and go beyond, you know. Mm-hmm. They say it's a saying, in order to bring possibility into reality, you must first go beyond what's comfortable. Because when you get in the uncomfortable zone, that's when the magic starts happening.
Okay. All right. Now, I think I have a listener on the line who wants to say something to you. You open for that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, hold on, please. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, you.
Hi, this is DJ from the Bronx. First of all, I just want to compliment you on all the work that you've done over the years, Jeff, and it's a blessing, that your gift that you have. And also, I saw you last year at a Hallelujah party right on West 4th Street in the cross from Greater Centennial Church.
Yes,
right. We had an awesome time. And your personality was very impressional. Very impressed, and my question I had, you already answered, but I just wanted to thank you for all your work, and you're one of my favorites.
And I thank you so much for even taking the time to call. That means a lot to me as well. Thank you very much. God
bless
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, DJ. Okay, so you got a following, a big following, huh?
And, you know, like I said, it really amazed me because when I came back to New York, actually now this is the fifth year, because I go back and forth, but I've been here taking care of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
So since I've been here, man, just to see the response of the people that was like, where were you, man, it's really amazing because the name is bigger than the image,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mm-hmm. like people, you can ask anybody, you heard of Jeff Reddick, so yeah, but the face, they don't have the name is not with the face, and that's what we're doing now. That's why I actually connected with Double Exposure, Angela Ellis,
mm-hmm.
Mary Moore, Cynthia, and them to actually just get me, you know, back in the business and get back in people's space and face and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we can, you know, have a good time and just do some other things as well.
Okay, now speaking of good time, I'm going to let everyone listen to Take You Higher so they can see what you are putting out there for us now. This is just a taste, so I know everything else is going to be just as good as this or even better. So just
okay.
Give me, okay,
all
hold
right.
on.
All right.
Is great, and the funny thing about it is whenever I put the music on, I kind of forget where I am, you know? And
right.
who told you you can't sing, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're
yeah,
welcome.
That's the new single off the new project. You know, it's available now on iTunes and CD Baby, you know, pick it up.
Okay.
Now, pick it up.
Now, with the current, you know, the constant changes in the industry, how do you stay so current musically?
I think you surround yourself with, you know, younger guys who are out there and know what's the pulse. But I think more so you got to do what you feel, because my thing is not competing with what's going on. It's basically just making music that feels good to me, because I'm an artist first. Mm-hmm. And I think when you start trying to make music that, you know, that can compete with everything else, you're always behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to always make things that are cutting edge. And cutting edge sometimes means that people are not going to like it. But
okay.
Do what you feel that comes from your heart. And that's what music was about when I was coming up. You know, now people are just making hit records. And I understand it. You know, people got to eat and, you know, it's a lot of money and hit records. But
mm-hmm.
my thing is, you know, to create a body of work. And that's why I say here I am 22, actually this 3 years later, and people still, you know about me and know about the work that I've done.
Yes. Now, keeping that in mind, being in the industry then and being in the industry now, what are the changes? What have you noticed? What, you know, what's good about it? What's not so good about it? Yesterday and today.
The industry is not the industry anymore. So let's start there. It's not the same industry. It's not an industry that recognizes talent. It's an industry that recognizes sales, and that means coming from independence. So this is the time of independent labels, actually, or independent artists actually getting out here hustling and creating their own way. And then the record labels come after you, so the industry doesn't exist. So that's what people have to get out of their heads, because I hear people saying, I'm going to create a demo and I'm going up to Sony and sit down with an A&R and get a record deal. Those days are over. They've been over five for the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's about creating your music, creating your audience, and selling it to your audience directly via the internet, via at shows, and that sort of thing. And that's what the industry is. So we're at a different time now, which I think is beautiful, because anybody can win.
Okay, so it's like a level playing field.
It's a definitely level playing field. And, you know, if you have the good music, people will buy it. And, no, you may not sell 500,000. You may not sell a million. But if you can sell 20,000 units at $10 a unit, that's $200,000.
Okay.
And then you can go on to the next project, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn around, you got 5 or 6 albums that's out there that's generating money for you.
Okay, and it's about business, period.
It's totally about business.
Now,
it's a numbers game.
Okay, now, like, you have, like, YouTube and all those other things available to you as well, so that makes it even easier. So you have to get yourself out there visibly as well as audio-wise, correct?
Right, you have to get out there. Now, of course, although there is the internet, people still... you have to draw traffic to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole other challenge that people have to figure out. But, hey, you know, once you figure it out, then you go from there. But, you know, it's a great time for music. I'm excited about the possibilities right now.
Okay. Now, do you have any projects that you are working on at this moment that you want to share with us? I know you mentioned the young man that you think is going to be,
well
the artist.
Young man I was telling you about, I can't give you his name yet, but just another project that I'm starting to work on, my next project, because this Take You Higher project is basically a project that I put together strictly for the DJs, because it has samples that all the DJs like to play and with me singing on it. And the great part about it is the collaboration between me and some of the artists that created the actual music, you know. So that's it. I'm excited about that. Also, we released a project that I put out years ago called Down Low. Now, Down Low back then doesn't mean what it means today.
I know.
We released the Down Low project on my label, Soul Real Records, so that's available as well.
Mm-hmm.
On CD Baby and iTunes. And then I'm starting on the next project. The next project will be a live project with live instruments, orchestrations, and those sort of things. Because after I started making records like All My Life for Casey and JoJo,
mm-hmm.
Tell Me It's Real for Casey and JoJo, when I was using 30-piece orchestras and working with
mm-hmm.
Randy Warman, who was actually Barbara Streisand's music director, it just made me think about a whole other element and another way to go.
So you're going old school.
That way for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I understand that you were going to write a book.
Yes, I started writing a book, and it went from my life story to
I put that pen down and started writing a romantic novel, and I put that pen down. So I think I'm going to go back to the romantic novel and finish that up. But the name of my book is R&B, Soul is a Music, R&B is a Lifestyle. It's basically about how R&B has affected the way we live, not only from the 60s and 70s, but till today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that should be an interesting book because, like, you have over two decades of experience to share.
Right.
Yeah
absolutely. And going further back than that, because, you know, when we were coming up, we had to listen to what our parents listened to. So
that
we listened to that music as well as the music we had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a new day, a new day.
And it's a great day. Now, what advice would you give anyone out there who's just starting, just in any industry, just out there looking and hoping to find their way? What advice would you give them?
I would give them to be creative. Do what you feel from your heart. Be willing to sacrifice. Don't spend money on your sneakers and all that stuff. Spend money and putting it back into what you're trying to do creatively. And just focus, man. And don't let nobody tell you that it's not good. Take advice from people you respect. And like I said, it's all a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, first and foremost, put God first and ask them, if it be your will, let it be done. Because a lot of things we want is not God's will. So we first got to go speak to a higher source and make sure that this is what they're supposed to be doing.
Okay, great. Now, there's one other last question. If there was one thing that you can change, what would that be?
If one thing I can change, I would change the unhappiness of the people that I'm starting to see and their attitudes towards being the way they – I'll give you an example. When everything is good, they got a job, house, car. Some people you say, how you doing, man? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now they lost a job. They're a little sick. How you doing? Oh, man, I don't know. The devil's business. But no, just because you're sick, you might be losing a car, losing your house, you're still blessed and highly favored because you're able to make a – you can. Every day is the first day of the rest of your life. You're always able to make a change. So we have to stop putting material things in front of what's, what really matters. So I would change the attitude of people about how they consider themselves being blessed and highly favored.
Oh, that's excellent. You know, it's amazing to see you on stage, to hear you sing. You don't really know the person behind all of that. And I am so glad we had the opportunity to get to know the Jeff Fred, the man, the person, the individual.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
thank you so much. And I really appreciate your time. And like I said, I'll be seeing you around. And thank you, and thank everybody out there for your support over the years. Pick up the album, Take You Higher. Pick up the other album, Down Low. And I'll be coming with some more stuff soon, man. And, you know, thank you and thank God for, you know, for allowing you to have this interview with me.
Yes, that's great. Now, before you go, can you let people know how they can get in contact with you if they wanted to, you know, send you some, like an email or something like that? Or
yeah, if they want to get in contact with me, they can hit me up on my website, which is www.jefffredd.com, and that's jefffred.com, and they can hit me up on Facebook as well, and then my Twitter is The Real Jeff Red, so they can hit me up at those three situations.
Okay, that's great, and I want to thank you for your time. It was indeed a pleasure, and I'm glad I had this opportunity.
And thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. You have a wonderful day. That's our show
for
today, everyone. You're welcome. Okay, everybody, that's it for today. We want to thank Mr. Red, Jeff Red, for coming to join us. It was beautiful. Please come back at 2 o'clock because I'm going to be at this again. So I got another show scheduled for today. But that's it.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.
Lighting up. It takes on a whole new meaning when you're behind the wheel smoking pot and see police lights. If our drug recognition officers catch you driving under the influence of marijuana, you'll get a suspended license, up to $6,300 in fines, and possibly jail time. A DUI always costs you, and it's never worth it. Don't let a DUI redefine you. Visit arrivealivede.com/drivesober. Popping. It takes on a whole new meaning when you're driving impaired by pills and get popped by the police. If our drug recognition officers catch you driving under the influence of drugs or prescription meds, you'll get a suspended license, up to $6,300 in fines, and possibly jail time. A DUI always costs you, and it's never worth it. Don't let a DUI redefine you. Visit arrivealivede.com/drivesober.